sure we get to choose.
Okay, I think this is not very formal talk, so I'll try to tell as much as I can. And so you know the test results from the Astro PH, from published results, so I think most of the results, I guess, you have seen. So I just try to make some comments which probably are not so clear and not visible in publications. So HESS comes from the High Energy Stereoscopic System of Atmospheric Chernenkov Telescopes, and this stereoscopy was the basic philosophy of this instrument. So that is fair, we just call it HESS. At the same time, the HESS, you know, there is a name of famous Victor HESS, discovered cosmic rays, and it also is a nice chirality, fair chirality, because one of the main objectives of HESS is origin of cosmic rays. So this kind of two type of interpretations. Now, HESS is a big collaboration consisting more than 20 institutions, and almost, or I think already 100 people are in HESS. Their main contributors are Max Planck Institute for quantum physics, I mean from financial point of view at least, and a few institutes from France, I think the three, like university. So, and there are some universities from Germany, from France, also contributing significantly, but not financially. Okay, I'm not going to make any review about the status, but just to understand how HESS appeared is maybe just very brief overview of the history. And you know that the history was very controversial of this field, and only in the 90s, after several decades of struggles, this became a real observational discipline with viable detection technique, and which are based on the so-called imaging atmospheric Chernenkov telescope technique, and with more than now, we could say, 25 reliable reported sources. And I should mention that all these results are obtained, most of them are obtained with the atmospheric technique. So brief history, 60s, the first pioneers in Russia, in Ireland, in England, and in the United States tried to detect gamma rays using very simple devices, which consists very simple, just you have a dish and photon multiplier, in principle you're detecting ready with fast electronics. And in 70s, the first result was claimed detection of 3.1 sigma excess after 3 year observations with weak alternate and non-imaging telescope. This is this famous telescope, which without of this telescope it was difficult to imagine now the status of gamma ray astronomy. It is a great contribution to the field. But '80s were quite, and it was not clear. This is what even sigma, like says, or upper limit, and was data were obtained after 3 year observation time. '80s were quite turbulent years with sigma X-ray. You all of you know these years, and which had a quite negative impact was bad reputation of gamma ray astronomy, and but positive impact was to some extent it is initiating the new research area, which now is called astroparticle physics. Those years it was called a bit differently, particle physics without accelerators. And more importantly, in my view, it was clear that if you want to really do gamma ray astronomy, you need to have better instruments. What means better instruments? I'll come to that. And okay, now it's time to say what is better instruments. So these instruments are simply detecting gamma rays together cosmic rays. It was necessary to somehow to distinguish between gamma rays and cosmic ray showers. And it was realized by pioneers in early 60s even that if you use imaging, you could suppress significantly cosmic ray background, you could improve signal-to-noise ratio. And the first MODIS camera using the same 10-meter telescope Apple telescope, but now with imaging camera consisting of 47, I think, or 1937 pixels, the first reliable result was obtained with the same telescope. And it's not exaggeration to say that imaging technique and Weibull collaboration just played a great role to save, to keep this science. Otherwise, it was a big problem in the 80s. It was no funding at all. So this was extremely important epoch in galaxy astronomy. Now, I think I just, sorry. Oh, strange. Okay, something is missing, 90s. Well, what was 90s? Yeah, I think it's this transparency missing. So what was 90s? 90s was detected the Macan 421 by Whipple. It was another very important result because, but interestingly, this was, I remember, was called one and a half, that time Trevor Lewis called gamma ray astronomy one and a half sources. So one source was crop, Macan 421 was half. Idea was the following, but when they increased next year, this was, you remember, it was published in 1990 in Nature, increased the observation time next year, and as usual, you expect square root of t increase of the signal-to-noise ratio, and in fact, the signal was less, so it was kind of panic. It was not clear if it was signal or not, but very soon appeared that this is very strongly variable source. Accidentally was observed in Waska. Waska saw the same in X-ray flares, and I think it was James Tate about the account, which showed that source is variable. So simply before, gamma ray astronomers were not prepared that sources could be variable. And the second aspect here is that this technique, I think 2 days ago when I said the neutrino instruments are slow, maybe it was a bit not clear what I meant. So this technique allows you very, these are the gamma ray burst instruments. There are huge areas, and if you have, even for small fluxes, you could see, you could detect very quickly signals, so it means you could see variability for short time scales, as we'll see now. So this is one comment which also relevant to Hess. And another was, and then the 90s appeared new instruments, Kangaroo was not also here, so it's a Hydra. CAT, three new instruments, and there was a nice present in mid-90s when Macan 501 suddenly became very active, and gamma ray astronomers were enjoying to see within 5-10 minutes more than 5 signals from Macan 501 during several months. And you remember the first signal 3.1 was detected for 3 years. So some what's clear that we entered a new type of astronomy. And what was else? Yeah, then Kangaroo published very important results, 10.06. That was kind of huge excitation because it was relevant to cosmic ray, original cosmic rays. Unfortunately, the result now is not full. And next was detection by Hydra, Cassay. Unfortunately, again, at the marginal signal was 4.5 sigma. Later was improved 5 sigma. We don't have now a doubt that gamma rays were detected from Cassay. And then Hydra detected marginally also the M87. Hydra found the first unidentified source. And same both and Hydra, not only because I am representative of Hydra. Hydra was a really unique instrument. In fact, it became most sensitive instrument, being so small, 5 telescopes. And in fact, Hydra, I think my colleagues from other collaboration will agree that Hydra introduced new standards when sources were discovered at the level of 10 minus 12 Earth per second with angular resolution for 5 minutes. So it was clear demonstration of the potential spectroscopic approach. And now Hydra, we can say, is a prototype of a race of 10-meter class 100 GeV pressure telescopes. This Kangaroo 3 has Veritas. In addition to these three quite similar projects, now we have another, a bit different approach, 70-meter biggest telescope MAGIC, but with different approaches, single approach. But it seems magic, a collaboration is going to move to the same direction, to couple to the telescope, at least to run in telescopic mode. So we may say all current proposal ideas of the present generation of projects are based on telescopic LZT arrays, and interestingly, next generation, beyond Hess, Veritas, Kangaroo, MAGIC, also most likely be based on this approach. So now to show what, this is not propaganda for Hydra, it's propaganda for telescopy. Hydra was 3, 4, 5 small telescopes. And then when Hydra, when Marcan 14-1 was active in 2001, Marcan 501 1997, Hydra could detect 60,000 TeV photons, almost double Vagron 3 in 2001, and from Marcan 40,000. And this is very important, coupled with good energy resolution, you could have you could measure energy spectrum. Spectra are nicely fitted with power law, with exponential cutoff. And I think there are not many examples in astrophysics where you can do spectrometry beyond several times, 3-4 times energy cutoff. So this is just shows how it's important to have good statistics. This technique is rich by important statistics. And the one example was it allows to have nice spectrometry, and another for very short time scales, you could measure not only signals, you could see not only variability, but also could measure spectra during flare, before flare, after flare, during flare. So on the time scales you see are just quite impressive, something like less than 1 hour. So
is this not harder? Is that soft or?
No, the play is harder.
So it's hardness is going up?
Yes, so play is harder. So, and this is just only on 1 hour, less than 1 hour time scale. So this is just demonstration of what you can do with stereoscopy. So this is what is stereoscopic LZT. The arrays, which just consists of three components, Cherenkov light, Shaw imaging, stereoscopy. So, why Cherenkov telescopes? And this is basic idea is very clear. Having very simple device, just one square meter or 2 square meter dish, photomultiplier, fast electronics, you have a perfect cosmic ray detector, also gamma ray detector, because you have huge detection area. You could collect showers up to 100 meters and beyond, but yeah, and you could achieve even good 1 TeV energy threshold. And this type of instruments have been built in the 60s. The only problem is it's not only good gamma ray detector, it's a perfect cosmic ray detector. So to some extent, this is more gamma ray detector than cosmic ray detector. In order to get gamma ray detector, you have to distinguish between gamma rays and cosmic rays. And how we can do that? So the hadronic electromagnetic showers are quite similar, but if you look at the details, they are somewhat different. So using the imaging, you image the Cherenkov light, you could get some differences that helps a lot to suppress the cosmic ray background. At the same time, imaging gives you certain information about our arrival direction. As I said, capability to separate gamma ray proton in the showers, and gives quite larger field of view. Large field of view, I'll discuss a bit later with an example of this. Now, and this gives the first result, as I said, the first reliable result in gamma ray astronomy. So the imaging single detector is good gamma ray detector, but strictly speaking, is not still a gamma ray telescope because it measures, strictly speaking, only one projection. So you don't measure on event by event basis without some model assumptions that are in the direction of the shower. So what you do, if you put two telescopes a distance, say 100 meters from each other, so then you fix direction clearly unambiguously, without just simply geometry, without any model assumptions about Shaw development. And it gives the arcminute angular resolution. This is what we realized with Scarfi-Fibra. And of course, having few arcminute angular resolution gives a perfect input sensitivity a lot. Energy resolution also improves the system. It is interesting, some years ago, a lot of people in the community were thinking that the telescopes, were the best just for spectrometry because if you have two, you improve significantly. Energy resolution is exactly opposite. You improve somewhat the energy resolution, but not much. So that you improve dramatically angular resolution, and also you do better rejection of hadronic and electromagnetic showers, because sometimes showers could fluctuate. It could look like gamma ray showers in one projection, but if you look another projection, it could be quite different. And you have another telescope, so using all this, looking the images in different projections, you dramatically improve also the separation of hadronic and electromagnetic showers. You could have low energy threshold, because maybe I should explain that, because we are coming to Hess. The energy threshold is determined not only the number of the photons with the dish, it is also determined by night sky background. So you have to fight against night sky background. The easier what you can do, you could require, you have many pixels and require coincidence between the pixels. But since pixels could not be very small, if you have pixel size something like 0.2 degree, 0.1 degree, of course if you require some hundred pixels, you will no background at all. But then you kill also gamma ray showers. So what you do, if it is stereoscopy, you could require, for example, 2 pixel coincidence in one telescope, another 2 pixels in another telescope. Or so using this trigger, at the trigger level stereoscopy, you fight very effectively against the night sky background. And experimentally, we saw that when we had the Hydra telescope, it was about more than 1 kV. Just the first result with the combined of the trigger, the telescope immediately would went to 500 GV. So, and the same happened with Hess. So one Hess telescope had the largest threshold than Hess telescope in the system. This is, I want to emphasize that very often people say, oh, having telescopes, the system of telescope, you increase the detection, the energy threshold is absolutely wrong. So, but now, and Shimon gave a talk a few days ago, also MAGIC agrees that having the telescope will in fact will reduce the energy threshold. And another important thing is just you could control systematic, this is very important. Like with Hess is very, very easy. I could imagine how it's hard with MAGIC. You don't have problems with muons, you got no problems with dark. So you just see nice events, you understand your systematics perfectly. And another point was one of the basic points in the beginning for Hess was the large field of view. Actually, we are fighting for large field of view, we need in collaboration. We are wanting a large field of view from the very beginning, but it's understandable, a lot of people are against, as they understand why. If you increase the field of view, you increase like square number of pixels, so it's getting very expensive. So, and typically, traditionally, you think 3 degree field of view is just fine because you detect showers or will be in the camera. But our motivation was to have large field of view first. Then you could detect showers even from very large distances, even 300 meters, 400 meters. There is no so-called disk, Cherenkov disk. There are photons which we reduce the density, and if you have large field of view, and large dish, so even TV gamma rays will appear from a few hundred meters will appear in the camera. So that is why Hess has perfect sensitivity at 1 TV. So this is basically a TV instrument, which is very nice because the collection area is almost 1 square kilometer for TV energies. Another was, of course, extended sources. We have in our mind clearly to detect supernova remnants. And another point was survey. If you have the large width of view and good sensitivity, you could do survey. And like Rosat was doing survey. So it's not completely right when were very often saying we need the large field of view to have surveys. So, and you see now that this really does very sensible surveys. Okay, so these are just philosophy what says, but maybe I spent more time than needed, but just this is just to explain, I think the result you could read in the literature, and what is secrets I could not tell you much, that was I just tried to explain how Hess appeared and what was the strongest part of the Hess. Now, just I mentioned several types of telescopes. These are really tiny telescopes. For a meter is very cheap. I think it was no more than 2 million Deutschmark instrument.
That's, how many meters? 1 meter? How many meters?
Diameter was 3 meter. The area was 8.5 square meter. And in La Palma, and the sensitivity Hydra detected, this was a detection by Hydra Cloud Nebula, and Hydra could see at this level of 10 minus 11 Earth per centimeter per second, the crop every 20 minutes. Actually, this was the same for Weka, Cat. And if you go to even higher flux level, I think for astronomy, astronomers, we should compare fluxes in near field plot. And even these higher fluxes by Ygritte at GV energies, Ygritte managed to get this 3 or 4 sigma after a few months of observations. I just want to show how sensitive are telescopes. And this was Weibull sensitivity, Hydra sensitivity, and it was clear now, if you combine three things which was known, it was the philosophy stereoscopy by Hydra, the 10-meter dishes, which was successfully realized by Weibull by many years, and the high-res camera which French built for CAT instrument, very fast, I think with the gate with the 500 second gate camera, if you combine these three components, you should have so-called 100 GV system, which was just Hess, or Veritas, or Kangaroo, if you do in good way, and they are just similar, they are close, you have seen this Hess, Veritas, I think it's funny in my view, because it depends who calculates Monte Carlo, but basically, things are just here, and Hess now achieved this level. That's all I want to say. Hess achieved a very, very impressive level, close to 10 minus 13 Earth per centimeter per second for some 100 hours. And this is, you see, just you can do a lot of astrophysics with such sensitivity. Now, one of the reasons I mentioned several times was angular resolution. This was angular resolution for how Hydra could see Crab Nebula, and how Ygritte could see Crab Nebula. So one of the important points. Okay, now it's nice a picture for Hess. So Hess, we do not make much propaganda for performance of Hess, so technological aspects. So, you know, just people think it's just something, but this is really beautiful design and a technologically very advanced instrument, very, very solid, and the camera is the best camera ever built. A 5-degree camera, almost 1,920 pixels. So this is, the weight of this camera is more than 1 ton. And just to say that the next Hess camera will be 2,000. I'll come to that, but just say the same. People do that. This is French part building the camera. The Heidelberg built the mechanical part and the mirrors and the different collaborations contributing the dark in the software. So this is a really very, very nice camera, and now we are going to build the second generation camera for video instrument. It will be 4 meter camera. Okay. Yeah, and at the end it was quite cheap instrument. I mean, without salaries, it was just 8 million euro instrument and built for 3-4 years. So the letter of intent was 1999, probably 1998. So it was very, very fast. Everything was fast and cheap. Now, now I come to astrophysics. So reported sources before Hess, actually not only before Hess, before 2004, because the galactic center, you know, was detected first by Kangaroo and Weibull. so it's not indicated lactic sources. So sources, it was dominated source list basically by Glazers, where there were five Glazers, plus one by Darren Smith was not clear, now has confirmed detection of the amyloid from this source. Was one Clarion Crab Nebula. Andrew reported another one, it seems, has cannot confirm this. Supernova Renans was probably it's too much to say the red Cassay before significance was also 4 5 sigma, extensive detection. I told about the excitement about Keno 6, but it seems Hess cannot see this source, and Kangaroo detected that time is blue because was Kangaroo detected this nice supernova remnant, and now Hess confirmed this result. Radio galaxies. Cenei was many years ago claimed by Brindley, it's not still clear, it is variable, it's okay. And the Eagle detected N87 and has confirms now N87. X-ray binaries is not clear, Starboard galaxies is not clear, and Eagle detected because largely the first unidentified source. Okay, this is the sky before 2004. Every time we were saying yes, we have much smaller number sources, TV sources, less than 10 or 12. But interestingly, and compared with Y, but what's different is just Y could identify only two classes, blazars and pulsars, where even in these 12 or 10, 12 sources, there are not many, but represented by several source population. That was quite interesting parts of physics. Now this is the Hess report is published, public available chart results. So Chuck is asking every time he wrote secret results. So what is the status? So these greens are which cannot be observed by Hess in northern hemisphere. And in fact we I think we got some signal from Marcan 501. But we observed Marcan 421, and we got more than 100 sigma when it was Larry. I'll show this to you. And we detected also N87, I'll show about that. And so now you see there are red ones. This is Galactic Center, Hess, Whipple and Kangaroo. RxG, also reported first by Kangaroo. MSH, this is a Clarion detected by Kangaroo, now has confirms with nice results. Villa Junior reported by Kangaroo and after a few weeks by Hess. Supernova remnant, I'll show this figure now. And we still don't know about Villa Pulsar. Crab Nebula has to see Villa Crab Nebula, actually is a bit 50, 60 degree. It is nice to have a crab for calibration of the Hess. We very often do this calibration. PKS was confirmed by Hess, and there are many new sources detected first by Hess, and this is only on the top of our head, so no results are coming. So now why is so Hess is so successful? Okay, energy range, 100 GeV, 10 TeV. In fact, there is no uplink, not 10 TeV, it could go infinity, the equation of the statistics. So but now we detected the amyloids up to 30 TeV from some sources. Angular resolution 50-20%. Angular resolution you could see. Now you look at the sensitivity. So one crab is 30 seconds. I should mention this is not crab. It's if you look at the small entangles, it's Monte Carlo because crab we don't see for 30 seconds. We look at large entangles. But if crab would be in the southern hemisphere, you could see for 30 seconds. This is a very important number, 0.1 crop 20 minutes. Just to explain what is that. So let's say the best Hydra, Whipple, they had something between 5, 10 sigma per 1 hour, or 0.1 means half sigma, 1 sigma. So if you want for 5 sigma, you need 100 hour observation time by Whipple, by Hydra, by CAT, or 50 to 100, let's say. And now has detected just for 20 minutes. So just this is what is power when we compare sensitivities is right, but interesting to look what we can do. So This is a reason when we just we simply could see it. Just the something which we needed 1 month or 2 months of duration time in Tigra or a week or Kangaroo, we simply see for 20 minutes.
Why isn't your sensitivity growing as a square root of time?
This one? Because this is not a sensitivity curve. This is observation time goes like plus square. So this is the reason. So if you have 3 times that's a more sensitive instrument, you need 9 times less time to take the signal. But this is the reason. Now, comments about sensitivity. So the 1 crab is approximately 3 × 10⁻¹¹ clock, question per second. So 0.1 crab, and I said minimum cycle time for Weakle, keep a bit less, but 50 hours. What means 3%, 0.3% of the crab, it requires, of course, 100 to 100. Now, I think 100 hours, you improve sensitivity, so you achieve this very, very impressive number. Now, what is that? You could say that the ambitious project like XMM, X-ray instrument, XMM, and the Chandra have angular resolution, they have sensitivity beta, 10⁻¹¹. That is true for point-like sources. If you are interested in extended sources more than 0.1 degree, Chandra and XMM lose this beautiful feature. So, in fact, tests could be even more sensitive instrument in these units than Chandra and XMM for extended sources. And now we see a lack of sensitive X-ray instruments. We try to do multi-wavelength observations. We see lack of sensitive instruments. It sounds a bit controversial, but it's true for extended X-ray sources, extended test sources. So the sensitivity, we need better sensitivity on XMM. Now, what we stand for, then it happens often. This is strongest layer, multiplying 14 to 501. And this is energy flux sensitivity was for Y for several weeks of observation time. And you could see this 10 crop presentation just for 1 second. We haven't seen such a flare yet, but just this is a gamma ray burst instrument, for some extent. With the flux sensitivity, many, many orders multiplied better than less than typical GRB fluxes. So in other words, it will be just tiny fraction of energy in GRBs will be released in gamma rays, 100 gamma rays, tests should detect. And it happens within, let's say, 1 minute, tests should detect such flares. So that was gamma ray burst is the significant part of our strategy as well. We don't move so fast as magic does, but I think 1 minute is just quite okay, 1 to 2 minutes. Also, it depends on the luck. If source is the same direction when the instrument was directed, the instrument, we could go quickly move. When I'm saying 1 to 2 minutes, it's just if there's an opposite direction. So,
it's how high in the sky does a gamma ray burst have to be to have a threshold of 100 GeV?
How do you mean?
Yeah,
close to saying that. You mean the threshold when you say 100 GeV?
Well, you won't get 100 GeV on all gamma ray
bursts. Oh, no, you're right. So this is, I think it's the thing. So the our energy threshold is about 95 to 110 GeV for zenith angle close to horizon, to zenith, is about 10-20 degrees. Of course, if gamma ray bursts are about 40 degrees, 40 degree, I think we have 250 GeV on the threshold.
You could roughly do a cosine squared theta scaling or something if you wanted to get a rough feeling, basically those cosine squared theta.
That plus is absorption, but it's right. Yeah. So, but basically, just to get impressions, so 60 degree for us is about 1 GeV. So 45 degree is about 250 GeV. 5 degree is about 100 GeV. Yeah, so this is the remarkable. If GRBs are large, you can do them. Yeah, and this has very nice field of view, and the homogeneous 5-degree field of view. In fact, not 5 degrees, gamma rays, let's say 4 degree, effectively. So if something appears in the field of view, So it does, almost doesn't matter, it's just in the center or 1.5 degrees far from the center. It's very, very homogeneous camera. So that is what works nice. Okay, now major scientific objectives of HERS are the origin of galactic cosmic rays. It was from the very beginning.
So, are you going to describe some of the observations?
Yes, now.
Okay.
Yeah, so galactic, extragalactic sources and observations of gamma ray cosmology. Well, I think I wanted to spend some time on that because the results are published, but this is, sometimes people really don't know how HERS operates, really what is the strength of HERS. That was I just trying to emphasize that. Okay, first HERS results are morphology, spectrometry showed that supernova remnants, TV gamma rays from baryons, and we detected another binary pulsar, maybe that's a binary clarion, 1259. There are new unidentified sources, we detected galactic center. Extragalactic sources, the less time went in the past for extragalactic sources, but now we detected TV blazars, new TV, I mean, 1, 2, and Mach 421, and 87, and now we'll spend more time on extragalactic sources as well. So from the Crab Nebula, HERS detects gamma rays from the Crab Nebula up to 20-30 TV, and there's a good agreement with Hydra detection, is not here shown. And what we would like to do with HERS, it would be nice to localize the gamma ray production region, but perhaps it's not for us, it's easier, it will be done by Veritas from the northern hemisphere, because the 100 GV gamma ray, size of 100 GV gamma rays is larger than 1 TV, and this perfectly is fine if you have 3 RPM resolution to really localize when gamma rays are produced. Another interesting part is just to probe the hadronic component, we see the gamma rays goes up to 80 TV. Formally you could explain by inverse Compton, but there could be some hadronic component, and it would be just interesting to just investigate in the region. This is now the task for HERS, because a large entanglement, you have the huge capability. And it will be interesting also to find the gamma ray lines from short leads. This is just an interesting idea, which could give you very interesting even up limits, where the quantum quads dominated quads become connected edge dominated quads. So I don't like to spend much time on that. Just say that about the clarions, at the first glance, you think the clarions are not good, the DV sources, because they are not very powerful. So Crab is unique. But on the other hand, Crab is unique, but also because the Crab wind is very strong, it brings also a lot of magnetic field. And for that reason, efficiency, gamma ray efficiency for Crab is very low, because large magnetic field. So for that reason, it compensates the huge power in the Crab. So we see Crab because of a huge power rotation and rotational energy. But the efficiency of the Crab is very low. Now, if you go to weaker clarions, pulsars, then pulsar is weak, but then also magnetic field is less. And the gamma ray efficiency is higher. So it's one of the basic arguments was in our program for HERS, to search for clarions. So less powerful pulsars, weaker magnetic field, high gamma ray efficiency, and it compensates low power, so it could be taken. Now we confirm that, so let's say, MSH, I think, is accepted in AstroPH. So this is a famous clarion, pulsar with clarion. Kangaroo detected first, I think it was 5 sigma detection for this source. Yeah, but this is now we confirm this, but not only confirm, I'll go to simply fast. We see morphology is extended, asymmetric source. So you see this 0.1 degree is more than 0.1 degree, and simply it fits nicely the picture of X-rays. Now I don't like to go to any interpretation, just only to mention the following. The basic idea is this comes from inverse Compton, and target is 2.7K. It means when you see the picture in gamma rays, it means you see the picture in electrons, TV electrons, because in synchrotron is different. there's electrons multiplied with B squared. But here, we know property of target. So it's very nice. You see really any picture you see, you are confident you see electron distribution for this variance. Okay, so now about the spectrum.
So Felix, what does that imply for the equipartition field? Is it an equipartition?
Well, this is, I think, difficult to explain in this way. It's probably not one zone even, but it's you need a partition to feed the X-ray and gamma rays, but there are, well, this is, let me just go, I don't like to talk about that because it's very controversial. I don't think it's easy to, a lot of people think it's you could explain even when you put in Hess, that thing we could explain by inverse quantum is not secret, and that I'm against that, so it's recorded. So I don't think it's so, it is challenged to explain by inverse quantum from 200 GeV to 20 GeV, pure beautiful power law by inverse quantum. So I think it's something could be much more interesting than simply inverse quantum. But again, so let's see. It's probably needs
time. I'm sorry, now I'm confused. MSH 1552 was, in your judgment, the TV photons were inverse Compton off the CMB.
In general,
self Compton for Crab. But it also has a component of Compton scattered CMB in the Crab, too? Is that what you're saying?
Sorry, what's it? So I think that's the point.
Conventionally, the TV gamma rays from the Crab are thought to be self Compton. Yes?
Not self Compton, inverse Compton.
It's all Comptonized CMBR.
No, in Crab there are also other photon fields like even the Simpson radiation or dust. So in this case you don't have them because Crab is uniquely strong in Simpson radiation. So here you have only 2.7 K.
This is the Crab.
No, sorry. This is still
this not the Crab.
No, this is not the Crab. This is
the other one. Okay.
This is not the Crab. This
but,
is
but in general one should have both components. Those you're saying in the Crab self Compton. Maybe Comptonized.
Okay, in this.
What Felix is saying is this could be protons or something.
For example, it could be protons.
I think that was the other component he was hinting at.
So, idea is that to have such a pure power law, okay, let me explain them. You know the age of this source. In order to feed gamma ray X-ray data, you need something like 10 microgauss. With 10 microgauss, you have a break in X-ray spectrum, the electron spectrum, around 10, 20 TeV. And then you have a break in gamma ray spectrum around 1 TeV. So you should have a plus the emission at high end is bell-type structure. So, well, if this is gamma square, you could just move up and down, but this is at least, I failed to explain two orders of magnitude energy range. To get it means you require one order of magnitude energy range in gamma ray pure power law. So what I am saying, it's my personal view, it's not so easy to do that. Maybe it is possible, but not just simply assuming some. It's not so easy. So and then I think it could be. This is perfect power law. It seems could be something more.
But you just said we know we're seeing exactly the electron spectrum.
Yeah. No, I said if these are inverse Compton, then you could electron. So you could not blame me what is, I said if. So this is, so now I'm not going to claim this is just, this is not inverse Compton. I say, personally, I see problems to explain two of the multiple by inverse Compton.
What is the X-ray spectrum look like? I mean, is it a term?
Actually, it's different. Not so easy, yeah. So you need a lot of efforts to keep X-rays and gamma rays. That's interesting.
One of the differences of the Crab Clarion, you know, the prototype is no shell type emission. You know, a lot of these things are compound remnants that may have a bit of a shell and then the field morphology as well. And what about this guy? Is this
well, there's a shell, there's a compound, but this is but we see from the gamma rays come from Clarionic part.
You can really discriminate that you're not getting.
Yeah, for sure, we see from the Clarionic part.
Oh, but it could be downstream. You could have downstream stuff from the shell to filling the remnant.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. I mean, it could be also protons. I mean, Aros is not here. We just have to get. But so, Mike, what I want only to say is maybe too early to claim these sources. I started saying we should see gamma rays, inverse Compton gamma rays from clarions. Now we see that, but nevertheless, I say, okay, It's maybe confirmation, but it seems to be something even more exciting. So this is, I don't say more than that. Okay, so there is another composite, I mean, it's a supernova remnant, GO9, we found in the field of the galactic center. It was accidentally found, and the source is very, very weak. So you see it somewhere here. With two telescopes, 2003, when 2004 we doubled observation time with four telescopes, it simply appeared at 11 sigma source.
But that's not the Sagittarius A star east.
No, this Sagittarius A star east or east or star, and this is 1 degree off was another supernova remnant played on, and that was accidentally detected. So this source never could be detected by previous instruments. It's rather weak, just weak source for the big 11 sigma.
This is unpublished then?
It's published.
Oh, it's the right panel?
Right now, I think it's published
the
as well.
The smooth thing?
Yeah, it's published, yes. No, what I'm showing you, it's published, more or less.
Okay.
So
what is... In the first result, it kind of looked like there might be something diffuse along the plane.
Yeah, but that's but this one. I think it's on this one.
It's not really there. I mean, if this one. Between, if you kind of look along the plane...
Yeah, but, well, okay, yeah. So we show in this way, you don't show details here. So yes, so you don't like to for the rotation that could be something diffuse, but you could see clearly there's a diffuse source. There's a diffuse component in the galactic center, there's no doubt, because point source is this one, GO9, you see? This is our point spread function, and this is detection. So this is point source. Now, you look at the previous one now. So you see this is big. So it's not, there's a, okay, our official at this stage is there is a point source plus the diffuse component.
And if you get rid of that, I'm starting to see if you get rid of that yellow box, you see this bright blue area even around it. So there's
don't ask more questions. Don't ask questions. Okay, so there's another interesting stuff, is just a double pulsar or double clarion. So it's what is interesting here, you have a lot of photon fields and photons for inverse quantum. So dynamical times are just hours. It's not like in typical clarions. So you could do a lot of nice physics with such a source. Source was predicted as a TV emitter by John and collaborators. Actually, before even was some hint, I think Kangaroo was hint for sigma even it was. And then they somehow were scared and gave up with that. So later was paper by Arons and Cavani and John and others. So it was clear you should see TV gamma rays. It's conventional mechanism work. Let me go fast to say that we detected that. So the idea was that you should see gamma rays most, the flux increase towards the periastron because you come closer to the binary, the optical star. So it started a bit earlier. Unfortunately, the mistake should start even earlier because this is a so-called interaction of the pulsar beam with the beam from the star. And there's indications that something important happening these days. Anyway, so it started here, and then here, exact periastron was moon, and then was rain, unfortunately, so it missed this very important part. Observed later. So you see the decrease, tendency for decrease, unfortunately, sigma is not so high, but it seems there's tendency increase towards periastron. We don't have data for periastron, and then increase when this state that the two winds, the wind and the from the star and pulsar interact, it seems there is increase, and then we have some slow decrease. So it's not perfectly explained by theories, different theories, but the source itself is quite complicated now to rush and try to make strong statements how it works. But what is important, we detected that. And again, source never could be detected by any other instrument. And this is the power of the HES to reveal such a short signal, weak signal for a short time. Now, originally with cosmic rays, let's keep all this what you know. So, what I want to say from the very beginning, we're targeting supernova remnants with Hydra, to see gamma rays. We're claiming that we have to detect to combine morphology with spectrometry, and we are claiming that you need to go down to such sensitivities, at least for point sources, to really do real physics, astrophysics with these objects. And now, when Hess achieved this level, we see that really it is true that you could do that. Okay, let's say there are the basic the problem here is that hadronic or electronic, everyone discussed that. For hadronic, with Hess sensitivity, no problem to detect hadronic gamma rays. Has achieved for typical parameters like 1050 argon proton, and density is about 1 or a bit higher. Another problem could be contamination by inverse content of the flux, but that could be easily, if magnetic field is larger than 10 microgauss, then as I said, for typical parameters, this should not be a big problem. So if you take some typical non-thermal X-ray emission, 10 microjoules to ground, 1 keV, and the supermagnetic field 10 microgauss, then this parameter is more than 1, so it should be dominated by, and this parameter is 1, 10 to 50 argon cosmic rays, density 1 per cubic centimeter distance, and so forth. So it's not so bad. I mean, it would be very likely if magnetic field is very large, more than 10 microgauss, then we could say, well, then we could be sure that we see hadronic gamma rays. So now the best candidates are sources with non-thermal synchrotron X-ray emission, because it implies 100 TeV electrons in the supernova remnants. And 1006 was the prime candidate. This is detection by Kangaroo. Unfortunately, Hess could not confirm this source. It's sort of multiple, almost less than upwind by Kangaroo. From, in my view, from point of view theory, no problem at all, even it's good news. I mean, because it was kind of ready to explain both in inverse content or pi zeros, this source Kangaroo detected fluxes. Now it's no problem. You assume large magnetic field, you don't expect any TV gamma rays. And the density of this object is quite low, 0.1, so I don't see any tragedy, any problem.
Is
that
the 25 microgauss actually derived, or?
Well, it seems just ask Chandra could see structures, filamentary structure, hotspots, and that most likely could be related to the cooling of electrons. So now almost everyone agrees that magnetic field, at least this object.
Actually higher than that, actually less than that.
Yeah, now you'd like to say, but you remember a few years ago, Reynolds was assuming 0.3 microgauss. there was paper for 0.3 microgauss. So, yeah, I remember that very shocking number very well. So, okay, now it's over. It seems for this object, is magnetic field is quite high, I think everyone.
What is the electroposition field for this case?
Partition, it could be 40, 50 microgauss. But the partition is something which probably is not so much relevant. Problem.
So it's 40 or 50, you think?
40, 50 microgauss. Well, it depends what the partition of electrons or X-rays. So for radio, it should be. There are all papers by, I think, Reynolds and the Chevalier for this object, we're talking about 100 microgauss. It's all papers. In past also was discussed very unusually. Papers was 100 microgauss. So after Kangaroo results came, in order to feed by inverse content, then you needed low magnetic field. That was reason. So okay, now this source. This is another famous source. RB1713. So you see this Chandra filamentary structure, less than 0.1 parsec structure. So this tells probably that we deal with large magnetic field. Okay, let's see, let's go fast. You have seen all these things, I want to show new things. So as I said about what is protons, electrons, this is a we should still discuss. Now this is a new data, 2004 data. It is a bit different than what 2003. It's the same, in fact, the statistic is order of magnitude higher. And this is ASCA image. There's a beautiful correlation between X-rays and gamma rays. Is not one puzzle, or not puzzle, but some interesting. Another interesting stuff, here is a molecular cloud, and exactly the hottest part in X-rays, gamma rays, coincides with molecular cloud. And now, spectrum, so this was spectrum published in Nature 2003, and this is now 2004 data.
What is the line?
It's this one.
Oh, it's just a power
law. It's not a... So there's something, we are still working on this part to understand what is that, but...
This is an electric cloud. I thought I just asked, you said there wasn't good data on the molecular clouds in the vicinity. Is there possibly a line of sight coincidence, or...
No, it seems this is really, actually this is not, I mean, it is not real cloud. They are like globes, I mean, which is a phenomenon instrument. So they are the beauty part, there are many, many conversations. It's not a huge cloud, and these are excited, at least this mountain group claims there is no way it certainly interacts with phenomena. And I think people working in this will do that. So this is
there's a maser offer.
There's no maser there. There's no maser, but it's actually on some lines. So
not there.
So
it's sorry, you're saying there are globules?
The globules, it's just, this is not a homogeneous cloud like giant molecular clouds. It seems there are small condensations.
But those are usually star forming globules?
The globules is my word. I don't know how they call that. Yes, because globules are just very small and very dense, very dark.
Protostars.
Could be. So this is not traditional giant molecular cloud inside 10 parsec homogeneous density. So it seems different. Now that we took a postdoc in our group, from this non-thing telescope, so we are just doing now this analysis. So all data we have now.
So Felix, the red data, is that published in the Nature paper?
Yes.
That's right. So now you've really extended it way below in energy.
Yes.
Right, so this is looking like MSH 15-52.
Exactly, that is my point. So I understand where to say that it also cannot be explained easily by electrons. So this is now, so people are talking about energy part. I think what's more important is low energy part.
So can you explain an electron parabola can be, over many decades or what's it?
No, it cannot be, because you pull electrons.
This is only one decade.
This would have...
You pull electrons, yes. Okay, I'll show it now, I'll show calculations.
Before you move, this 0.15 systematic error, where does it come from?
What is 0.15?
You have this 0.15 systematic error in the determination.
But this one is instrumental, it depends on the... You're doing different, this is extended source. Mm-hmm. In order to extract the signal, we should take off positions, just on minus off. So depending where you do that, unfortunately, this is the point source you need to do. Unfortunately, results change are changed depending method and position you take off. So it comes from there.
They're still understanding your instrument, and your off region is something like 9 times the statistics of the on region, which means your problem is systematics.
I worry that I'm not sure that we will understand 100% perfect instrument for such a bad regions. I mean, the confused regions will be able to get. This is a
curvature there.
Yeah.
This one. Okay. Yeah.
Felix, this chi-squared. For a degree of freedom rolls out a single power law, right?
Yes, there are beta fields, which there are a couple of fields.
In fact, it looks convex or something.
Yeah, you like the means.
It's much more consistent with the leptonic than a hadronic.
Physical organs, not just arbitrary power laws.
Okay, let me just show another figure. So now we are able to take from different parts of remnant spectral index. Of course, it's not goes to more than 10 TeV, it's a small limited part, because of statistics, but you could see perfect parallel, let's say, between 200 dB and 5 dB, and gives you this quite homogeneous spectral distribution, every distribution of same complexity.
What is this scale? What is this?
It's 1 degree. Point 0.8 degree.
The color scale.
What color scale? It's here. It's number of events.
So these are spectrum indices for the assumed electron spectrum.
This is the number of photons.
Yeah. So you see here and here, there's a bit, could be some deviation, but not from the.
So can you plot the spectral index versus the intensity in each of these boxes?
Yes, but not here. Okay, so, I mean, let's see what we need. So these are data now. If you try to fit by inverse content. And so you could see it's very sensitive to magnetic field, and this 9 micrograms fits this part of the data. And so this is if you use the ASCA data, but of course, as you have seen, there are just, this is assuming the ASCA, the whole remnant, and assuming the more perfect modeling should be the coordinate dependent model, but this is just assuming this the homogeneous source taking X-ray coming to the same region as gamma ray. So you could see here it is not perfect. What Matthew said is exactly the case. So is this here? So it's not a this one is 7 micrograms. It is this part, but not this part.
The red is how much different?
Then is 7 micrograms. And there's 11 micrograms.
So, but, so why would you be surprised that there are such variations?
Huh? What?
And you would be surprised that there are such variations in the magnetic field across this extended region?
I'm not surprised. I'm showing what I'm showing. I'm saying there's some difference. I'm not surprised. I did say I'm surprised. I'm saying that there's a difference.
It's also a poor fit to the ASCA data. I mean.
Sure, but this is difficult to get. Okay, now. You could fit much better this part if you assume skip electron spectrum. So 2.5, then it is better, but then, I have to mention that this is very weak radio source, extremely weak radio source. It's just completely different than traditional supernova remnants, like Cassay or Kaiko. So radio is very weak, and then you have this. Of course, you could say, who cares for radio? And radio are just GB electrons, and PRTV electrons, so.
Didn't a lot of the X-ray, non-thermal X-ray measurements of these remnants also show kind of embarrassingly good steep power laws? I kind of remember that it did, they didn't quite have the curve.
Yeah, usually it could fit in different ways. They unfortunately up to, it seems that the cutoff should be beyond 10 kV. Which is another puzzle.
So this could be another type of break, maybe, before a cutoff.
Yeah, but it, this is a no transient cutoff up to 10 kV is another puzzle, because we should expect them short speeds of like 5,000 kilometers per second. Okay, now this is now better fit. So you could have all the source. This is the question. Let's say how you could do that. Yeah, I'm just finishing now. So if you have all the source, you could move the break in electron spectrum towards low energies. And then you could have this quite good fit. But the question is, this source seems 1,000 or 1,600 year old source. So, but again, who knows? I mean, this is, so fit is now much better, even ASCA fit could be. But I think we should not overestimate all this fit, because this is the integral. And you have seen this, we should take just perfect modeling should be if you do depending on the position. So this you take all together. It's just to get a feeling, could you fit or not? So formally, answer is yes. Formally, you could fit that.
Even if you separate to different regions, you're still integrating over the line of sight.
Yeah, but this is done here.
But this line of sight may not be homogeneous.
Right, but this is what you can do. You could just to assume some, you should some make some assumptions, there is no way. Yes, having morphology now is headache for theoreticians, bad news for them. to try to fit data, because there are a lot of parameters now. It's not so easy just simply to. So morphology should be now morphology, I agree. And then you don't know, this is the bubble or just homogeneous sphere, so you should also model that part. Okay, you could assume there's two zone models. So what you need to feed this X-ray data, you need to you could not cool by radiative cooling, and because magnetic field and age is fixed. What you can do, you could assume something like bomb type diffusion, but with large diffusion coefficients, so it makes the same, makes electron spectrum steeper. You could move to low energies. So for example, assuming escape time like bomb diffusion time are 15 times larger, formally, again, you could move this cutoff energy in electrons, or break low energies again to feed. But again, how much physics is there? I don't like to, I think it's too early to play. And the easiest to do just to model by zeros, no problem at all, because there's, you have a lot of freedom. So this is the status. So I think what is the status? With electrons could be problems, but cannot be excluded. Protons, there are no problems.
This isn't a complete model. You have to have your electron component in as well.
Huh?
You have to have your electron component in as well.
Electron component, if magnetic field is 100 microgauss or 20 microgauss, you could forget for gamma rays. For
no, for the lower energies.
For low energies, yes. Just I'm showing how this part could
be. Glance under the picture.
Yeah, now, as I said, I'm not...
Let me complicate it further, your modeling picture. If you're going to have a proton model, they make secondary pi pluses and minuses that make a component of the X-rays.
It's less factor. Okay, this is... The X-rays are order of magnitude higher than gamma rays. So secondary X-rays give you factor of 2 lower than gamma rays. So for this source, you cannot do this. You cannot play this game. I agree. It's a very nice idea. And sometimes it could work. But in this case, you see, X-rays maximum could be here. It could not come here. There are sources when X-rays. Yeah, secondary electrons is an interesting possibility, but certainly not for this source. Okay, that doesn't come on. Okay, so I just wanted to say that also Villa Junior, we measure also Villa Junior. And now it's Villa Junior seems even better source, because there's not this molecular cloud. We see nice shell. This was a little here, I think in next days, is accepted for publication. But now it was observed for hours last year. And now we observe this 50 hours. I think we have only 50 hours, 35 hours. And we have to have a beautiful shell. Not like RGB 1713, it's just kind of strange structure because it's cloud. Here it seems real shell. Just it's not some nice figure, but we have the new data, you see the thin, nice symmetric shell. And for to fit now this data with inverse quantum unit for microgauss, then now up to you. I mean, if you can do something with, if you agree that full microgauss is possible, and such sources is okay. But it's not so nice to have full microgauss, because then you want to accelerate particles to 100 keV. So maybe, unless you assume joint type acceleration, there's no way parametric acceleration to get such energy for microgauss for 3,000 year.
It's given the age.
Age is given. 1,000 year could not play much.
Yeah, because this is known. Like, the Bayley occurrence, the age is known.
Well, it should be even less. But if you believe this titanium line, I think we should not believe. But if you believe this titanium line, it means 300 years. On the other hand, there are, I mean, different arguments, but none of them goes beyond 2,000 years for this source.
So if you find like a historic supernova remnant or something, you can make this type of argument very bulletproof that the field has to be a certain magnitude reason.
Well, so I think I surprised there's no, I just had some people with the field. So just, well, just your question, Chuck, you said, now X-rays in Villa Junior are comparable with gamma ray in UFU plot. So still above that in the secondaries, but now you need, if there you could have 10 microgauss, now you need 4 microgauss in main models. let's say. It could be multis or models, but the name models. So the question now, are you happy for microgauss in second order runners as a rate of multi Yam race? It's a question. But if you assume large magnetic field like 100 microgauss, everything comes very simple. I mean, just look for protons, 200 kV or more. You accelerate electrons thoroughly, but electrons will produce your X-rays, but no inverse content. Anyway, so there are no, I think it will be wrong now to claim anything very certain at this stage. And a lot of people are pushing that, saying these are protons or not. So it's just, I mean, my personal view is just with electrons there are problems. But we cannot still exclude electrons, especially when we see such a structure, complex structure. And I hope very much Willard Jr. will bring a lot of new, especially because X-ray flux is much lower in case of Willard Jr.
What does it mean for the origin of cosmic base physics? You have 10 to the 50 Earths here. That's 10% of the.
Well, John, this is. So this is another interesting point. By the way, if you go to RxG 17, if you assume this cloud is something right, I mean the real thing there, and density is about something more than 100, so you need not so much protons to explain gamma rays, something 10 to 48 Earth. And you say, who needs this supernova remnants in that case? I mean, so in case of Vela, it seems there are no clouds.
But you need an average of 10%, right?
In order to but this is okay. Then you, but this 10, 15 is
that's
fine.
Okay.
It's okay. It's good. It's better. So if you take,
well, I'm just asking. What's this? You need 10% on average of supernova energy to go into any
so
process.
So that's 10, 15.
You just have it here, right? Because this is could be as large as 10% of the.
We don't know density, John, and there's distance.
So distance. Could be okay. Is it okay for the others too?
No, I think the others will be happy with that. I don't know myself, but I mean others, I mean if you like to have hadrons in supernova remnants, they'll be happy with this source. If this is lower, then you require 10 to 50 Earth in cosmic rays. But
by others it means other supernovae, not other people.
Other supernovae.
Ah.
Other people will be happy with.
Okay, let me just say my what I was a bit confused with this source. So this one and RG 1713 have very low radio emission. Orders of magnitude, two orders of magnitude less than Cassay, Tycho, and others. So I don't know what that means, but this is they are different. This and at least in radio, these two are completely different.
One of the problems with anything that's not a really well studied like historical supernova is these parameters, like all of these, you know, the factor three in distance here, which is pretty typical. The densities, I mean, typical densities you see from a lot of the X-ray studies. Like the Einstein sources for a fraction of, you know, 0.1 or 0.3 per cubic centimeter, and they're uncertain by factors of 10. And you've got so many orders of magnitude flying around.
Okay, so it depends on the and
what we should slowly finish in general.
So, but as I said, this is just could be nice good news for 2050 to have, no more. I did say this is a solution of. With supernova remnants, and that just I'll say this is, I think we should be unbiased approach, not to only supernova remnants, to see something else. And in fact, you could see gamma rays without accelerators, like that is makes more sense actually, because high energy cosmic ray already will leave the source and go away, and if they hit molecular clouds. So, and in that sense, I think it's good just to have a survey to see what the sources are. So this is not a survey. We found in 52 binary pulse and one hotspot. You know, Higro detected one hotspot, and we did a survey, and now we have a zoo of all these objects. Maybe these are teletrons. Maybe these sources are not the specific supernova remnants. So now I answer your point. Yes, I agree with that, saying these supernova remnants are accelerated cosmic rays and CPR. But it does allow us to say that now problem is solved, that supernova remnants are sources of galactic cosmic rays. I completely agree. So it could be some other sources. And we need to go through all these sources. They certainly will publish more. If this was only the small to the few, I mean, small range of sources. And you could see they are just completely different. They are very extended, they are point-like sources. And I think it needs a lot of efforts to understand original sources. What is clear, these are comes from multi-TV particles, electrons or protons. So this is a problem. It's model independently. We see cosmic accelerators, TV tevatrons. Only the question is just these are tevatrons, or maybe tevatron is here. This is just simply the cloud which is illuminated by cosmic rays. So how to find these tevatrons is another question. Okay, this is our question.